Management. Well, welcome to the Don't Back Down show today. I'm surrounded by good people here. We got Don Beichel Jr. We got my good friend, Andy Titleman. Who says lawyers can't be good friends?
I think that's the first time you said Don's last name correctly.
I'm coming, Wheezy. I'm coming, Wheezy.
What happened?
I did it on purpose. I wanted to see if he was catch somebody who listened in on it. But look, Vicky's not here, but I'm live. But Vicky's not here.
She's debatable, but anyway.
I know people have said that. But, you know, Vicky's the real eye candy, not Andy, that's for sure.
I'm standing in for Vicky, and I'm going with she and her as my pronouns today.
Okay. But I also want to mention the fact that Andy, not only is he a great attorney and does a lot of things for people, gratis and stuff like that, and try to actually help people, which is why he's near and dear to my heart. There's a passion inside him that's very unique. But he loves driving driverless cars, you know, that are self-driven. I rode with him the first time in a driverless car, and I was holding on for dear life as as this thing was driving. And, of course, he's also a pilot. Now, my wife has taken out double indemnity insurance on me if I fly with Andy. She's got a special policy.
She said if I push you out, I get half. So,
So in any event, but we're going to get some good, interesting stuff today. So we have a lot of things to cover, and I'm glad Don hung around because we got him so excited about the game we're going to play. And also the question of the day is, who really is Justin Trudeau's parents?
I already know the answer, so I'm going to let Don play with the first question.
Okay, I'll play. I don't know who it is.
You have no idea who it is. Well, there's a whole big backstory, and Joe Grogan went into great detail about it. And Margaret Trudeau, and by the way, I met Pierre Trudeau back in my skiing days.
His dad is not Gary Trudeau, who wrote Doonesbury?
Okay. It wasn't that different Trudeau. But I met Pierre Trudeau.
Because he reminds me of him.
Yeah, I know.
It is a cartoon character situation.
Yeah. In Mount Tremblant, above Montreal, it was like 32 below or 25 below zero. And I had occasion to ski with him and everything else. Little guy, nice guy, you know, not that good looking, but very impeccably dressed and was very kind to me at that time. Never met Margaret. I think she was in Cuba at the time, spending time with Fidel. But any event, Margaret was kind of a free spirit. She was an early free love type of person. She's had an affair with Ted Kennedy and everything else. She talked about in her, she's been quoted as saying that the first time she met Ted Kennedy, it was like instant electricity and things like that. She called Fidel Castro the sexiest man alive. And it just so happened there was a picture of Pierre Trudeau in his suit and everything else, looking like Pierre. And then there's a picture of Margaret Trudeau holding on to Fidel's arm, patting him, and they're together smiling. And she was enamored, called Fidel the sexiest man alive. So after they were in Cuba for 9 months and they came back to Ottawa, Justin Trudeau was born. So Joe Grogan is demanding that Justin Trudeau take a DNA test to see if he's who's his parents really are.
We already know he's. We already know he got the communist chromosome. So.
Yes, yes. And there's a picture that Margaret Trudeau returned shortly after Justin was born, and to let
the nose,
to let
the nose looks
to let
the same.
Castro do it. Now you take
check
a look
at the nose, man.
You take a look at Justin. Take a look at Fidel. Take a look at Pierre. And if you don't see a resemblance between him and Fidel, you got. So I think that what we're looking at is Justin Trudeau is Castro, Fidel Castro, and Margaret Trudeau's love child.
I think that the FBI should use some of that facial recognition software that they've been using to round people up it's, just to see if that matches.
Fidel is smoking a cigar.
He's smoking a cigar. So, and I thought that was great. But also today joining us is someone who has really been committed, and I've gotten to know.
Well, you've been
Sam.
Committed.
Yeah, I've been committed a long time ago.
They let him out though.
They let me out here and there. But the interesting thing about Sam, he understands that with the type of government we now have in place, if we as conservatives and common sense people and people who just want to have a great country become too strident in our protests and go beyond like a January 6th protest, that will be used as an excuse to suppress us, similar to what Stalin did in 1925 when a couple of cities said, hey, wait a minute, we really don't like these Bolsheviks, let's rebel against it. And he sent the troops in there, pretty much killed everybody and sent everybody to the gulags, which he declared a state of emergency, and that state of emergency remained until 1953 when he died. And basically anybody who spoke out about the government was considered a terrorist, and not only was that person sent to the gulag, but his whole family was, so that there was no possibility that this could crumble down into the other society. So people were pretty much scared to do anything. So very similar, this whole strategy of what's going on is pretty similar to what's been happening. But Sam understands that by us quietly getting together, organizing in quiet ways, and getting out there and uniting in Pennsylvania through different coalitions of people and getting out and vote and making sure when we go to vote, we keep an eye on these drop boxes. We take pictures of anything unusual. We see, look, they're letting millions of illegal aliens in, not because they want to open the gates, but because these people are going to be voting. In Florida, they've just arrested about, I think, 20-some people. A lot of them were illegal aliens and not allowed to vote.
Yes.
So we know that this happens. So Sam Fatus has this event, and I'm going to let him talk about, before we get into our game and a few other things, but I want Sam to take some time and talk about how we are going to unite and this big project he has coming up, which is on August the 27th from 11 to 4. That's Saturday. And it's out at Keystone Horse Center, which is 103 Horse Farm Road in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. And the keynote speaker is Catherine Engelbach Breck, who's actually been on the show several times talking about all the data, all the geodata that she got, pretty much proving how people went around to different drop boxes.
Well, True the Vote and 2,000 Mules the Movie.
And the movie. So a lot of the stuff that she's got is from stuff that she's been able to find out. And True the Vote has been around since 2007. Because we all know, look, there was, again, I'm going to refer to Tucker Carlson, because by the way, it's a great show. The two shows I love watching are Gutfeld and Tucker Carlson.
I love
that's
Gutfeld.
All that's left on that channel.
Oh my God, it's no. Actually, Gutfeld's funnier than some of the funny comedian talk show hosts because he does it tongue in cheek. But she was since 2007. She's been involved in True the Vote. So Tucker had a French electoral person in charge of elections in France. And they never have a problem in France. As diverse as that population is to a degree with all the Muslims and immigrants have come in, they may have a little rancor in the political activity, but they know who wins the vote pretty much immediately. And why is that? no one can vote without voter ID. Everybody no. has an ID.
Really? What a novel idea.
Isn't that racist, though?
Yeah, right. Well, as
it
Kathy
is.
Barnard,
it prohibits illegal voters from voting.
As Kathy Barnard said, she was at her beauty shop one time, and she asked the question, how many people in here don't have IDs? And everybody said, what are you talking about? We all have IDs. So it's not racist at all. It's just if you don't have an ID, there's something wrong with you, and you probably shouldn't even be voting if you don't have an ID of some sort, a library card or anything. So anyhow, so they have that. And they do not have mail-in ballots. They have none of that stuff. You're either there or not there. And so they can do it. So
Stan, I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me that MSNBC is lying to me?
Well, would I? Yeah, probably yes. I am telling you that they're lying
my
to you.
My world is shocked.
I know. It should be shattered.
I am crushed.
Although they got rid of the little clown at CNN.
Oh, yeah.
You see that?
Yeah,
little
seltzer. Yeah, I hear he's going to become conservative now and start really getting the message across. He's I don't know. Any event, Gutfeld did show a clip of him and when Stelzer had hair, and it was years ago, and he showed this clip, and it was the funniest clip I've ever seen in my life.
He still has hair. It grows inward.
It grows inward, yes. So we got Sam on the phone. So, Sam, I'm sorry for holding you on delay, but anyhow, welcome to the show, and let's talk about uniting people, Unite PA, and how we are quietly going to take back our country, our state, our counties, our local governments, in which the American dream will then be again in front of us.
Well, thanks for having me. As you indicated, look, we have patriot groups, all my shorthand, all over the state. Historically, the issue has been you got all these people, you got all this energy, and they all operate independently. They don't coordinate. They don't communicate. So what we've done over the last few months is we have brought together these patriot groups, started with 40 of them that we got into one room in Allentown, PA, back at the end of April, to all sign an election integrity declaration, which is a very straightforward demand. Says, take us back to in-person voting, hard copy ballots on election day, essentially. So a little bit more verbiage to make clear that if we're not trying to do away with true absentee ballots as they used to exist, but basically end mail-in voting, end drop boxes, take us back to something that we could police. We have now gotten somewhere in excess of 100 patriot groups all across the state to sign on and become part of this coalition. We've already been out and taken some actions around the state, been to the state house, appeared in front of legislative offices all around the state. And on the 27th of August at the Horse Center in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, all the information on this you can find at unitepa.net, unitepa.net. Just look under events. And we're bringing Catherine Engelbrecht in. She's the keynote speaker. We got my buddy Jack Maxey to come talk about Hunter's laptop because we want to put the exclamation mark on, you think elections have consequences? Well, yeah, they sure do. Look, let's take a peek inside that chamber of horrors. And we've also got some big time folks like Tony Shoup of Audit the Vote.
I happen to be her counsel. I volunteer for Audit the Vote. I'm going to be meeting up with Tony in Missouri at Mike Lindell's event this weekend. So I love her.
She's going to be there talking about her journey. It's a great event. Look, there's going to be food. There's going to be drink. There's going to be breaks. There's going to be live music. This is a destination. It's not death by speaker where 57 people are going to just talk at you till you can't take it anymore. Every person that's going to talk is high impact, like Catherine, like Jack, like Tony. But here's the real thing is it's not just a pep rally, although it is. And it's not just an educational event, although it obviously is that. It will conclude with a specific call to action to everybody in attendance, every patriot group, every person who's there who's not part of a patriot group, to go back into every state legislative district, town halls, door knocking, a whole series of other things, to just crank up the heat on this legislature. Because the God's honest truth is, when you just clear all the smoke out of the way, this Republican-controlled legislature in Harrisburg, which, by the way, we should remember, they're the ones who actually gave us mail-in voting. They voted for it. They are literally not doing a single thing right now to change the system.
For the last 2 years, they've done nothing.
They intend for us to run the next election, which is rapidly approaching, exactly the same way we ran it in 2020. They don't think that's a problem. So our whole gig is they need to understand, this is the way the declaration is written. We demand a return to in-person voting. We don't want you to play with the margins, and we're not really asking you. There's a line on the ground. You got to get on one side of it or the other. You either do what we're telling you to do, or you stand up in the light of day and tell the entire Patriot movement in the state of Pennsylvania to drop dead. And if that's your position, then we will fight it out as to who comes out on top. In other words, we'll find out how many of you still have seats when this is all over. So Sam, that's the entire purpose of Bloomberg.
Sam, can I ask you a question before
please.
You go? And it has to do around the in-person voting, which I totally agree. My feeling has always been that, we're a much, much bigger country than we were in the early days and things like that. And I believe that we should maybe have in-person voting, but it should be a multiple day type of thing in which people have an opportunity to vote, maybe a weekend or something like that, which takes away the excuses that they used to give. Well, it's on the weekend, people have to work, you're trying to keep the vote down and all that. But if we change the paradigm on that thinking and still make it in-person voting as well as with ID and give people a chance who work during the week and things like that to come in and give people no excuse at all, I think we have a much stronger case in getting it changed. So I would have much rather did away with the mail-in ballot 100% and do away with very limited absentee ballot and just increase the number of days you do as long as it's with ID and in-person. And I think it takes away a lot of the some of the angst about doing it on a Tuesday and a weekday and something like that.
I think the center of gravity here to the request is right now you have a system where the request, the demand, that right now you have a system with holes in it that you can drive semi-trucks through. This entire current system is just built to enable people who want to steal an election. And we can't just keep doing this. I mean, for amongst other reasons, in addition to the fact that we can't trust the result, is what it is doing to people's faith in the entire process, right? The average American no longer trusts the results of the election, which means he no longer regards the people in power as legitimate. Now, if you allow that to continue over time, you and I both know where that takes you. That destroys respect for the rule of law, institutions, and everything. And it will ultimately destroy the republic. You can't just tell people, shut up, ignore what's in front of what's obvious, and keep doing the same thing. You can't. But that's, in fact, what the legislature right now is doing and intends to do unless we make them change.
Well, the interesting thing you just said there is I know you were using it as a metaphor, but it's actually true. They were driving tractor trailer loads full of votes.
Yeah. There's still one missing between Lancaster
right.
and Harrisburg.
Yeah, so.
That's right.
Yeah. The French voting executive that came on Tucker's show said that they do not allow mail-in vote because it's fraught with fraud, and that's why they don't do it. And you have to be an idiot not to realize that this opens up the door for fraud. And you say, well, everybody has the right to vote. Yes, but people also have the right not to vote. And in many cases, these people that don't vote, maybe you don't want them to vote because they have no idea what the issues are.
Not just a right. It's actually a duty and an obligation of a free society, and we should go out of our way to vote instead of the other way around, where it's like driving through McDonald's and you just drop off your vote in some box in the middle of the street.
But again, Andy, and I agree with you, but you know, if you're you know, saying that, then you know, and they're trying to say, well, mail-in voting makes it easier, then I think the idea that Stan and I have talked about many times is to make it like a 3 or a 4 day voting period, a week, like a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
And boom. So you take away the excuse, oh, it's a work day. The kids, you know, the kids are home from school. I can't get there. Look, if both parents are off on a Saturday or Sunday, you know, you can go and vote in the firehouse or the you know. Look, I understand the you know, you might have to have extra people to guard the machine. I understand all that. But if your true desire is to expand people's ability to vote.
And you want it fair.
I agree with the multi-day, but we still have the other underlying problem, and Sam hasn't touched on it yet, but I bet he will, and that's these machines, the algorithms, the fact that they connect to the internet.
Oh, yeah.
This is a multilateral fraud that's been perpetrated on this country, and our so-called Republican legislature has the power to fix it without the governor's signature, and they do nothing.
Right.
So, you know, Sam, before you speak again, I wanted to ask Andy about this. We were involved in a recount with the
you
last
talking about the
Lancaster thing.
Yeah.
Which had you come up with a thought process to challenge to make sure what was in the machines were giving the same ballot. So why don't you explain that?
Sam probably knows about this too. Sam, there's a section of the election code. And by the way, I am an election lawyer now by default. I'm learning it one section at a time. I take no credit for being an expert, but most of the experts want to be paid well. I'm willing to work for the right price for audit the vote. And they supported a couple of candidates in Lancaster County. And we picked up an effort that was started by Dave McCormick. And again, I am not a McCormick supporter, and I think he got scared out of the race because he had hundreds of these petitions under Section 1701, which says in plain English that if three electors from any voting district put together a petition that's verified, in this case verified, the courts have said doesn't mean verified the usual way, it means notarized, and we learned that the hard way, but that's okay, we're ready for the fall now, then the judge shall order that the ballot box be open and be counted by persons appointed by the court. Now, that's not exactly the words, but it's pretty close. That means to me hand recounts.
And the reason for that, because in Mike Lindell's show that he did, at the convention he had, he actually had
last year at this time.
Last year, he had these machines. And there was a hacker in the audience who actually hacked into the machine and changed the vote live.
So Mike pulled back. He had the PCAP analysis that they did in real time during election 2020 in the fall. And he pulled back from making the announcement because he found out that his information had itself been corrupted, and he didn't want to be embarrassed. But the baseline information is still correct. They were manipulating the vote counts around the world. I mean, Spain was implicated.
Yeah, these machines were contacted from numbers in other European states.
We have to get rid of the machines because it's not just the, you know, you can put in as many mailed-in ballots as you want, and they do fluff it that way. Catherine Engelbrecht used the expression, you'll recall, Stan, you were on the phone call. It was like a China cabinet, and you bring out the China, meaning the fake voters, when you need them, and then you put them back right afterwards. And don't you know, in Pennsylvania, the analysis pre- and post-election in November 2020 showed that the database of voters expanded and then by January contracted again.
Yeah, there was nobody on there. But the reason for this is if the machines are accurately counting it, the number of total votes in that machine should match up with that machine number.
They don't want you to see that because they won't.
Yeah. So they don't want. So this is why the petition is to do the hand count, which is very important. Look,
I'm stepping on Sam's time, and I don't want to do that. But Dave McCormick.
But I think
Dave
Sam's McCormick, finding this very interesting.
But I'm going to end this point now. Dave McCormick literally had hundreds of these petitions pending, consolidated in front of the Commonwealth Court. I found that out because when I stumbled upon 1701 because of those candidates we were working with, I did research on it and I found his case. And I still have his information. I'm going to show it to Lindell this weekend because we need somebody to fund this effort. But I believe it's a backdoor to a hand recount. You pick the places you want to do it, and they're going to be forced to open those ballot boxes and let people recount them. So Dave McCormick was on the cusp. He had just won one of his lawsuits where they decided that putting the date on the envelope didn't mean putting the date, so you didn't have to have the date. That worked in his advantage. It got him down below 1,000 votes separating him and Oz. His next petition, which was still pending in the Commonwealth Court, was for these ballot box openings in hundreds of voting districts, and he quits on the Friday, the week before they were going to decide his case. I think that everyone knew that high profile like that, they were going to have to read the statute in English and open the ballot boxes and have people recount them, and there's no way the powers that be were going to let that happen. So he backed out of the race for no good reason other than he changed his mind on a Friday afternoon.
So you can see where we're thinking. Go ahead, Sam.
I would say, look, the response to anybody who says we have issues with the election is a standard sort of response from the left, just like, if you question critical race theory, you're a racist. Shut up. We're not going to debate this. We're not going to discuss it. If you suggest that, you know, Wuhan happens to be the place where there's a BSL-4 lab and they play with coronaviruses and bioengineer them, so maybe we should think that the virus came out of that lab, you're a conspiracy theorist. We know this play. If you raise an issue about an election,
unless you're Stacey Abramson.
Unless you mean the governor of Georgia?
Or any Democratic politician.
Yeah, there's a whole set of other set of rules. But you're just simply told, no, look, there are no issues. This is all made up. In fact, as you guys know, it's exactly the opposite. It's almost impossible to know where to start because the entire system is so riddled with holes and issues. I take a ballot. I go sit there on the tablet at the ballot, you know, at the when I cast my vote, I tell it that I want to vote for whoever, and then it prints out a piece of paper. On one side, it lists all the people that I voted for in English words, Donald Trump, et cetera. On the other side is a QR code, which only a machine can read. That I stick that thing into a ballot box, and they feed it into a machine. That machine doesn't read, like optically scan the English words on my side. It reads the QR code, which I couldn't read. And that's how it decides who I voted for, right? It might as well print it in Mandarin Chinese on the other side, which I also can't read. And then that's – so right there, I already don't actually have any idea that that machine is registering the votes, as you guys said. Then this goes into some sort of system that scans them and reads them and tabulates. Obviously, that has programs. It has software. It has algorithms. Everybody says things like it's proprietary software, which is supposed to mean trusted. It's super cool is what I guess that translates into. What it means is it belongs to the company and nobody else knows what it is. So now I'm trusting the company to read the QR code that I couldn't read and not add every eight votes, add an additional one for Biden. I have no visibility.
By the way, this company that does the voting machines, supplies the voting machines for Venezuela, just to let you know.
Well, Venezuela is where the software actually comes from originally.
Yes.
Right. Dominion software originally comes from software that was designed to rig elections. Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips at the event in Phoenix last weekend where I was, you know, one of the companies that produces software that registers all the election workers all around the country, collects all their personal data, all their information, turns out stores all that information on servers that sit physically in mainland China. Huh. And the software engineer who built the whole software is a guy who came out of something called the Chinese Scholars and Students Association, which means nothing to anybody except it's part of what they call the United Front, the Chinese United Front, which is a giant espionage effort inside the United States to steal everything that's not nailed down.
And we know I just want to say one more thing about these voting machines. These voting machines were designed, too, to be able to weigh votes. And it was mainly because in corporations where they have large different classes of stock.
Yeah, it's called fractional voting.
So they do fractional voting. It's a very easy little thing to change the algorithm to do the same thing here. So for every three votes that Trump got, he gets knocked three votes, and Biden gets two, and Trump only gets one. They were locked in. So I'm telling people, this is what can happen. I want to go back to the old click machines and the old barrel. They just stick the voting thing in, and people count it by hand.
I don't even want to use the click machines. I want to fill in the paper and have it counted by people, and then there it is. And that Thank God in Pennsylvania, we're still, most of the counties are using scanners. So if we do get to open the ballot boxes this fall to compare what the machine says versus what the papers say, we're going to have the ability to do that. But Sam's talking about a more dangerous system where you actually tap in the names of the people you're voting for. That slip comes out, and then that gets read by a machine.
Right.
There's no way to count those.
Yeah, and there's no way to tell you which way they voted.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, and the other thing people need to understand is that what happened in 2020 is part of there is a very explicit, very well-funded, again, this is not science fiction, Bigfoot is not involved, this is documented, a huge Democratic nationwide effort to completely fundamentally alter, a Democratic Party effort to completely fundamentally alter the way we conduct elections. And the goal of that is one-party rule.
Yep.
And what we saw in 2020 is the first few steps, but the follow-on is now being rolled out, and the current Secretary of State, Pennsylvania, Leigh Chapman, she spent her whole life's work is this project. So the next phases involve, of course, doing away with, there's no effort to identify anybody, make sure there is no semblance of a requirement for an ID. Then they're going to push mail-in ballots, and they're going to push mail-in ballots without request to any name and any address that appears in any Pennsylvania database for any agency that was ever compiled for any purpose. Now, just think about every agency that might have put together.
Dead or alive.
Well, those, right, they could be dead, they could be alive, they could be living in Ohio, they could be voting in six states, they might be in prison. The database might have been compiled by an agency not for electoral purposes, so therefore they didn't care whether the person was an illegal, was a citizen, was anything. This is random bulk data with zero safeguards. We're going to push ballots. That's the ultimate goal. Again, not science fiction. To everybody, it's just going to go out there in the ether, and then they're going to come back, and we're just going to basically act as if there's any integrity in that system. Just close our eyes and pretend that every one of those pieces of paper that's come back should be taken seriously and counted. And when you, in fact, in many cases, have absolutely no idea where they're coming from, the whole process is supposed to be the reference earlier to, you know, the legalities of this. I mean, you're supposed to basically have to be able to establish a chain of custody for every ballot, just as you would get an evidence admitted in a criminal trial, right? And so it's not really incumbent upon the people protesting to demonstrate where you can't do that. It's absolutely incumbent upon the electoral officials to be able to show that they can ensure that chain of custody, the validity and how it was handled. And for an almost infinite number of reasons now, they can't do it, which is why, again,
it's by design.
That's what this whole rally is
meant to be that way.
It's by design. Yes, yes, it is not unintentional. We are not here due to incompetence. We are here because this is a deliberate effort, and the goal is to enshrine one-party rule forever. And the sickening thing to me personally is that you have a Republican-controlled legislature that, first of all, took us down this road by passing Act 77 and now refuses to move to fix any of it. That's what this whole rally on the 27th is about. It's about.
And I just like to tell people, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania has no rights to be involved in the election process other than declaring if something is blatantly racial or unfair. And when the Supreme Court injected themselves in it and the Secretary of State injected themselves in it, the House and the Senate should have gotten together. They should have impeached all those Supreme Court justices for not following their duty.
Well, the Supremes just overturned the Commonwealth Court's decision from, what was it, last February, where they found Act 77 right. to be unconstitutional. And they threw a bone out. They said it should be a constitutional amendment, and they're completely right. Our Constitution currently specifically says you can't have remote balloting except absentee ballots in certain specific circumstances. That's a constitutional matter. It's, in, again, in plain English, but apparently the words don't mean what they say. They mean what they want them to mean when they change their minds. So we're in very deep trouble in this state. And, Sam, I will say this. You are correct about, quote, one-party rule, but it's not Democrat or Republican. It's the people who are in power in both of those parties working as a uniparty.
It's a globalist movement. Which is being modeled after the Chinese system of central government,
yep.
in which they appoint the heads of factories. They tell the what they you can produce. And if you go against them, like this guy Wu, who was the most richest man in the world, was in charge. He went against the party.
You get disappeared.
Party. He is disappeared. We have no doubt. We have no idea where he is. I would like to take a break to read an ad to do a, as Rush Limbaugh.
No, you can't have a break.
We do a little commercial break here to make some money. So I want to tell you, you know what's going on out there in the housing market today. The housing starts are down. Everything is critical. But let me tell you about my good friend Diane Cardano and her EXP Worldwide Real Estate team. As you know, we are facing today very difficult decisions with interest rates going up and the impact of inflation and the ideologically driven government administration that appears to care little about the economic concerns of the working people and their families and where they live and how they heat their home or cool their home. Well, even in these times, no matter what the economic conditions are, there are always people that are in need of selling a home or buying a home. The real challenge is to find a real estate expert, someone like Diane, with an MBA in marketing and has a true understanding of the current market conditions and can find the right property that meets the client's budget. Diane's monthly home real estate marketing updates has helped many of her clients determine the process and the timing for selling and or buying their home. Diane meets with all of her clients individually. She answers their questions and designs a personalized real estate marketing strategy that will optimize selling price for their home if they're selling their home, or meets the budget of her buyer to determine the best strategy to buy that home. All of Diane's programs are designed to take the stress out of buying and selling a home. So it's almost by going by the numbers because the way she breaks it down. And she's been doing it for a long time. So if you're in need of selling your home now, or in your need of moving and buying a home now, it's time to call Diane at 215-576-8666 or go online to www.215-576-8666.com. Let me repeat that, because if you're in this situation, you want to do this today. Do not hesitate. 215-576-8666 or www.215-576-8666. Meet with Diane and her staff and determine. Meet Diane and her staff and determine the best strategy to meet your goals during this difficult economic times. Just remember, Diane never quits, and like this show, she doesn't back down. So now back to our show. So Sam, anything else you want to add? Because we got a game to play. In fact, you might want to join us in this game. You're welcome to hang on if you want.
I'm not going to lose any money, am I?
No, there's no money.
What's the difference? It's not worth anything.
Only Don loses money on this show.
That's for silver here.
The last thing I would just remind people, look, 27th of August, Bloomsburg, PA, go to unitepa.net, and you get all the information on the event. And again, good time. There will be music. There will be food. Some fantastic speakers. You'll learn a lot. But the real... You know, this is a launching pad. This is not a come get fired up, scream for a while, and then go home, go back to sleep on the couch event. This is a come become part of something. Let's make a difference. Let's make these people do the right thing and fix our election process.
Let's quietly go out and win this thing and surprise everything. You know, one of the things that happened in the Liz Cheney, you know, smashdown was that the polls really weren't showing. They were showing that she was going to get beat and get beat, you know, crazy, but not as crazy as she was beat. So a lot of these polls, people are not expressing where they stand because they're scared.
They're scared, absolutely.
And we have to tell these people that's okay to be scared, but when make sure you go out and vote. In fact, we want to do that because it gives these less people less time to rig these machines. So just keep that in mind. So you're welcome to join in, but the great website, by the way, if you want to go out there. I just want to mention also Christopher Mass, Mastromento running against the Dean of Decency, Dean Madeline Dean, talk about hypocrisy, is having an event on August 23rd at 5:30 to 7:30 at 2912 Swedes Road in East Norriton, PA. So if you go onto the website, you can see it, Chris Mastromento for Congress. You definitely want to get to meet him. He's a great guy, and he will be a true leader. He's a good business guy on top of everything else and makes a lot of sense when he talks. So well, let's
Stan, while we're on it, I want to do a tout for Mike Lindell's event coming up this weekend as well. So it's called the Moment of Truth Summit, hosted by Mike Lindell. It'll be happening in Missouri, so we don't expect anyone to come.
And you get pillows when you go there.
I'm hoping. I want a signed pillow.
Yeah.
And it's actually going to be all on Lindell TV, which is at frankspeech.com. And it's tomorrow, August 20th, and Sunday the 21st. I believe it starts at 9 a.m., and it's going to run until about that time in the evening. The whole thing's going to be televised, so try and tune in whenever you can. It's the Moment of Truth Summit. We're going to have speakers from every state. Yeah, you'll be happy to hear this, Sam. Tony Shoup was going to be there speaking on behalf of the Pennsylvania election integrity efforts and for audit the votes. So it should be a good turnout, and I'm looking forward to meeting some of the best people who are really out there working hard to help save our country. And Lara Logan's movie, Selection Code, will be premiered on Saturday night, and I believe they're televising that free as well. So please tune in to frankspeech.com, Lindell TV, this weekend.
And tomorrow we're having the grand opening of the Mastriano campaign, Southeast Regional Campaign Office at 2629 Philmont Avenue in Huntington Valley. Lieutenant Governor candidate Carrie Del Rosso will be there tomorrow.
She's a great lady.
Around
great
12
speaker.
O'clock. She's fantastic.
Great, great speaker.
So we're going to be there from 11 to 3. We're going to have food and signs and stuff for the kids, the whole 10 yards.
That's around the corner from my office. That's the Adcock Pool Building,
yes,
isn't it?
Is.
So
yeah,
we had
yes.
other people who had their headquarters there.
Hey, Sam, were you ever in South Philly?
I have been in South Philly, yes.
Well, I know a lot of people, I don't know if they know this, but that's where Doug was born, in South Philly. So he's a product of Philadelphia. You know, he's he comes from a very fine Italian family, grew up in South Philly, was raised in the Catholic faith, but, you know, went into another religious vent as far as a Christian vent, but a great guy, but he's one of us. He's definitely one of us. He knows what it's like to be a working class, and he put his life on the line for this country, as opposed to Josh Shapiro, who's running for governor. Of course, he's been running, as we talked about the last show, since for politics since he's been 16 years old. He likes to tell people he's close to the average person, and yet he was born into a wealthy family, went to a religious private school when he was young, really never earned a paycheck from a legitimate business that I know of. It's always been a government check. But he likes it, and probably some, maybe insider trading, maybe, I don't know, you know, things like that. likes to tell people how to live, but he never does anything to help people. Like a true Democrat, he loves to spend your money, and that reminds me of a story. Are you ready for this story before
the game? Does it lead into the game?
Yeah, it kind of leads into the game. So there's
story
these,
time would stay in.
There's these three guys in a bar, and they've been drinking a little bit, so they got a little buzz on. And guess what their names are? Josh, Tom Wolf, and Fetterman. So the phone rings, and Josh picks it up. And one of the person on the other line says, asks Josh, listen, I'd like to go out and buy a brand new TV. Is it okay if I use your money? And Josh says, yeah, go out and buy a TV. And then the person asks Josh, listen, I'd really like to buy a pool, put a pool in, because I want to relax and everything else. And Josh says, sure, go right ahead and you know, do the pool, no problem. And then the person said, I have one more thing to ask for. He says, you know, with crime so bad and everything else, I want to put a big security fence around the house, and I would like you to pay for it. And Josh says, sure, go right ahead to pay for it. And then Josh puts the phone down. He hangs up. So Tom Wolf and Fetterman, you know, they get a little curious, and they said, you know, we'd like to ask you a question about, you know, who just called you. And Josh says, well, wait a minute, before you do that, would you answer my question? Could somebody tell me whose phone this is?
and that's a taxpayer's phone.
Yeah. And that's kind of like what the Democratic Party does. they pick up the phone, anything you want, but they're never really paying for it. It's always you paying for it, and somehow. So that's how it works. And
that's
of course,
beautiful.
And they're going to have 87,000 IRS agents to make sure you pay for it.
Well-armed IRS agents.
Well-armed IRS agents. So, yeah. And now we got a few minutes left for the game, and this should be a little fun. And we're going to try to do this maybe every week if we can. Of course, we talked about Justin Trudeau in the last half hour about who his dad is, who the real parents of Justin Trudeau. And if you're curious, check out Joe Grogan, and you will find that he is demanding that Justin Trudeau take a 23andMe test because it looks like Margaret Trudeau, who was a woman's liber and free sex and everything else, sexually freedom and everything, not only did she have an affair with Ted Kennedy, but she said that Fidel Castro was the sexiest man alive, and there are pictures that show.
She does not have very good taste, apparently, in
yeah,
men.
Yeah, well, she likes guys with cigars, I guess. And then 9 months after she was with Fidel and Cuba and everything else.
I think it depends on the size of the cigar, right?
Yeah. Don's been waiting for that one. I didn't say it, so that was him.
Cohiba.
Yes. And, of course, the latest thing is, this is always the best. You talk about hypocrisy. Eric Adams, we know New York is a sanctuary city, as well as Baltimore and a lot of these other sanctuary cities. So the governor of Texas is sending all these illegal immigrants to these sanctuary cities. And Eric Adams says, this is terrible. This is racist. Please don't send any of these people to my sanctuary city. And it's like, because crime is going up through the streets. So I always say, if you want to see it, meet a hypocrite, you meet a liberal progressive Democrat, and you will find a hypocrite in there. So here's the game. What we're going to do is I'm going to tell you a policy that people actually have, that a party and people actually have. And your challenge is to say whether it's a common sense policy or a radical policy. And then I'm going to give you two candidates with their party affiliation. You tell me which party and which candidate support that particular policy. Okay?
Gotcha.
Okay, so that's it. So the first one is supporting and
my
allowing...
My buzzer's not working.
Yes, and we have an electric tied to the chair, and the person gets the answer wrong, gets zapped. Supporting and allowing transgender men to compete in women's sports and get changed in women's locker rooms and bathroom. Is this a common sense policy or radical policy? It's a shame our producer doesn't have a time clock going ding, 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 ding. I should have warned. Next week we'll have. Next week we're going to really do this big.
We'll play the Jeopardy song.
Yeah. So
I'm going to say that it's a radical policy.
How about you?
What, men going in the
men the transgender men changing.
Now Stan. Can I be a teenager back in high school, or are we talking about now?
Well, that's an exception to the rule.
I just want to make sure what time frame we're in.
Yeah, next thing you're going to do is, are they wearing
I'm going to have to agree, with Don. It's radical.
Yes, so it's radical. Now, here's the thing. Your choices are Democrat Josh Shapiro or Republican Doug Mastriano.
Who favors that
policy?
That's really hard. Don, you have to go first. I have to think about that one.
I think Josh Shapiro favors that.
I think it's Castro.
So if you're allowed to jump in on this, Sam.
I will go with the crowd. Shapiro probably go by.
So therefore, the real radical in this is Josh Shapiro and the Democratic Party, right?
I was going to say Joe Biden, but I didn't know what day it was.
Well,
neither does he, so don't worry about it.
So, and of course, Josh Shapiro calls Doug Mastriano radical. So here's the next question. Supporting defund the police and allowing cities to become shooting galleries, carjacking meccas, drug deaths camps, and supporting prosecutors who have no idea, do not allow for bail, and say the victims created the problem. Is that a radical
can
policy?
Can I just yell the final answer? Am I allowed to do that? I just yell the final answer?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, we got to build this up because we got a few more minutes
Never mind.
So is this a radical policy or a common sense policy?
Oh, well, that sounds radical to me.
Sam, you want to jump in on
radical.
This?
Radical.
Radical. Don?
My name is Josh Shapiro, and I say it's a common sense policy.
So the vote is 2-1, a radical policy. And, of course, we know. Yeah. Hey.
Sound effects.
Hey, we got the producer. And, of course, your choice is either Democrat Doug. Democrat Josh Shapiro or Republican Doug Mastriano.
I'm going with Castro again.
I'm going to go with Josh.
Yeah, Josh.
Little Josh.
Yes, yes. So then the radical in this group is Josh Shapiro, correct?
Correct.
All right, here's another one that should get you excited.
I like this game.
Yeah, it's a great game. Okay,
it's called inversion.
Get ready with a dinger.
And since Josh is getting all the prizes or all the answers, I guess we have to supply the prizes because, you know.
Well, the surprise will be votes for Doug Mastriano.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, here's one that's going to throw you now. You got to think
all
about
right,
this.
Okay.
Supports a policy of helping the Pennsylvania farmers become one of the leading farmers of the nation, as well as helping Pennsylvania become energy independent and being able to have its citizens afford driving and heating their homes and everything. Is this a radical policy or a common sense policy?
Oh, I think it's a common sense policy.
That's pretty easy. I'm going to go with common sense,
okay.
too.
Common sense.
Common sense. Okay. All right, so who's your – yeah.
Late, but still there.
and your choice of candidate, what is it a policy of Democratic Josh Shapiro or a policy of Republican Doug Mastriano?
Oh, my God. This is a trick question, isn't it? I'm going with Mastriano.
I'm going to go with the only guy that's actually served his country, Doug Mastriano.
Yeah, and Sam?
Me too, of course.
Yes, and you're right. So the common sense person is Doug Mastriano. So we have two radical ideas and one common sense idea and one that – Yep.
And what's the bonus question?
The bonus question really.
Oh, the answer to that one's Castro.
The bonus question, does Rachel Levin shave her legs? Is that a radical?
You just ruined a very good show. I'm going to have that in my head the whole rest of the day.
Is that more often than she shaves her face or less often?
I have no
idea. See, that's the question.
Sam, do you want to say something?
I'm trying hard not to form a mental image. By
government spending more money and increasing taxes, this will end inflation and lead to economic expansion. Is this a radical policy or a common sense policy?
Totally radical.
I don't know. Joe signed it yesterday, so it must have. So you know, it's the inflation buster or whatever they call it. Yeah. They call it. They had a name, right?
Yeah, the Inflation Reduction Act.
Inflation Reduction Act.
They told him it was the ice cream order.
It must be a radical policy.
Yes, yes, yeah, And who supports this idea? Democrat Party and Josh Shapiro, or Republican Party and Doug Mastriano? Who supports this policy?
That guy who did that, Biden, the Democrats, and Josh.
I say it's Jill Biden. Jill Biden.
Jill Biden.
She's running the country.
Well, she's certainly keeping him medicated appropriately.
Okay. Oh, that's right. We got to stay within Pennsylvania. Okay, I'll go with little Josh.
All right, so here's another one. This is a little
Josh.
Yeah, Josh. So we got that one. So ding, 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 ding. Yeah, it's okay. All right, so here's the last one for this week, and next week we're going to have a whole bunch more. Allowing the Secretary of Health, who is a transgender male, and I get a little pronoun challenge, so we're going to say he, her, to take he, her's mother out of a nursing home, put her in a hotel, and then allow thousands of grandparents, moms, dads die in our nursing homes from infected COVID patients and thinking that was a good idea. Is that a radical idea or a common sense idea?
Radical.
Am I a stockholder of the Hershey Hotel?
Yeah, from that same, yeah.
Well, it's he Hershey now.
Hershey.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to say radical.
Right. And
I'm going to say crime.
Crime.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Oh, ring that bell there.
He won the bonus prize.
He got the bonus prize there. You got to go to the 27th. The guy that sharp needs to be seen. So
I'll be there.
So, again, the radical policy is the Democratic Party, Josh Shapiro policy.
Yes.
And, you know, the thing is, you see these ads, and he calls Doug Mastriano radical, and yet they cannot point to one thing that Doug's ever done that's been radical or anything else like that, unless you want to say he drew up the plans to invade Iraq during the first Gulf War.
Well, here's a question for you, and I'm going to add this to the list. Would you consider somebody that touts himself as the top law enforcement officer of the state that has never been in a courtroom
and never tried a case?
Would you consider that stolen valor?
Who are we talking about?
Go ahead, Sam. You can jump in there.
That's so true, though. He's never tried a case.
Complete fraud. He's also the guy that ran for office saying that he was going to clean up the drug problem in Pennsylvania, and now we're awash in fentanyl deaths.
But that's because he feels that open borders let in really all good people.
I get upset when people misinterpret what other people say. And Sam, you need to be admonished for this. What he meant is he was going to clean up the availability problem, and now it's really available, and more people can get as much as they want.
Yeah, in fact, they got the drug sites all laid out, right?
Yes.
And when he gets his dividend check from the Chinese pharmaceutical companies that are making the fentanyl, it works out even better that way.
Yes. We got one more to throw out here. Parents who are concerned with what is being taught in school and who protest peacefully and ask questions about the curriculum are nothing more than domestic terrorists and should be prosecuted and sent to jail. Is that a radical idea or radical policy or a common sense policy?
Well, of course it's radical.
Right.
I believe it's radical.
And who is the candidate who advocates this?
Jim Comey.
That's close. I didn't put him up there. He's not running for anything.
I'm going to say
he's running from some things.
I'm going to say it's Little Josh.
Little Josh.
Oh, Little Josh. God. You get me every time with that Little Josh guy.
So we're having some fun with it, but for you people.
If you want a governor that can wear size 2 shoes, he's your guy.
So the issue is, when you really think about the policies and not listen to these crazy statements like from the raging Cajun Carvel, who says all Republicans and conservatives are radical and are racist without ever showing you anything, we can actually show you facts and figures and point you into real policies that are really racial and are really problems for the American society and take away from our dream. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week with more games, more interesting stuff, more fun. So join us. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend,
everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.